Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Tar on the Jets Live. I'm your host, Steven Zantz, joined by my co-host, Steven Russo. Got a recurring guest, very, very special guest, DJ Bieniemy of the New York Daily News, covers the Jets in his first season on the beat. We had him on during camp, but we're super excited to have him on, even though it's a downtime for us Jets fans and everyone who has to associate themselves with this team. Steven, DJ, how you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. You know, just kind of got back from being out by the Jets facility. Took me a little minute to get back, but I'm chilling now.
What about you, Steven?
I'm doing okay. As we were talking right before we went live here, DJ, I was like I said, I was really hoping to have you on and have the Jets be 3-3 or 4-2 or something, man. We could talk some positives here. But unfortunately, we're following up a deflating loss, and that's probably to say the least. So I think at the start of the season, nobody said that the Jets roster was rich with talent. I think any Jets fan just wanted them to be competitive, even in losses. I mean, as you take a look at this, an honest, objective look at this, is the Jets roster really 40 points worse than the Patriots roster? I mean, where does the reality lie here when you look kind of at the first six games here?
I think last week it wasn't 40, but it was like 20, 30 because of no CJ Mosley, no Jared Davis, no Zach Wilson for most of the second half, actually second quarter on. So I think you know, that was, it was kind of budding that way. Because I mean, again, like the way the Patriots want to attack you, they want to find your weakest links. And as Robert Saleh said, they like to pick on certain players that have to stress the run pass conflict, which is why they're able to hit you a lot of play action. And without CJ Mosley, you know, you just had, like, there's nobody to really galvanize everybody, have everybody on the same page. Obviously, yeah, you got Marcus, but he's basically a deep safety. Sometimes he's in the box, but, you know, it's easy for you to pick on Quincy Williams, pick on Sherwood, pick on Cashman, like, because, I mean, those guys, I mean, Quincy's flashed a little bit, but, like, he's a home run hitter, so you can pick on him. Sherwood is still learning how to play, you know, play in the NFL, so they were just able to really pick on that. And I think, you know, once Zach got hurt, it kind of took a lot of the air out of the team. And I don't think they're 40 points better, but, you know, the scoreboard was what the scoreboard said. So,
yeah. So, I mean, when you look back at, you know, the Jets had, okay, we'll say they had okay games against Carolina and Atlanta, right? We'll call them meh. They had bad games against, obviously, you know, New England, Denver, and then New England again, and they had a good game against Tennessee. So where does the team lie? Where does the reality lie here? Like, what, you know, what can we expect from here on out?
Here on out, I mean, with Zach Wilson being out, like, it's going to be hard for him to be competitive with Mike White. Mike White's not that good, which is why it's kind of perplexing that they traded for Joe Flacco, but he's not going to start this week. And he's probably, like, if I'm just being honest, gut, you know, assumption, he's probably not going to start next week because they're going to practice Friday, off Saturday, game Sunday. They're going to have walkthrough on Monday. They're going to practice Tuesday, then they travel on Wednesday for the game on Thursday. So, like, there's a chance that even with Joe Flacco being here, if you're not going to start him this week, probably not going to start him next week because you still want to get him up to speed. And if you don't put Zach on the IR, then that means he'll probably be back by Buffalo. So, you know, it's kind of perplexing that they traded for him if they're not going to start him. And, I mean, the fact that they traded for him and they say that they knew he was not going to show up till Friday, what's going on here? But they just played two really tough teams coming up. I think it was Zach. It would have been hard to be competitive. But with Mike White, it's going to be even harder. I think what Jeff fans have to pay attention to and look for it is, like, how well does the defense play? If they can keep them in the games long enough to where it can still look competitive, like how it did against, you know, week two against the Patriots, where, like, yeah, Zach threw four interceptions, but, like, for the most part, it still felt like a game. It was like, all right, can the offense get one touchdown to, you know, keep the game within reach? Something similar to against, like, Carolina's, you know, where it was like, all right, yeah, we're down. You guys are down 16-0, but can, you know, the offense score once to, you know, make it a game? So I think, you know, what they got to look forward to is how well can the defense play? They're going to have CJ Mosley back. They're going to have Jared Davis back. Obviously, Marcus May is going to be – is obviously, you know, he came back last game, but he's healthier now. You know, this is basically the best starting unit that you'll have defensively all year, unless, you know, maybe Bryce Huff doesn't play because, I mean, he's dealing with, I think, a back. But, I mean, I think Shaq Lawson can step in and provide the same that Bryce Huff was providing. So I think to look forward to just how the defense performs. The offense is going to be a struggle. It is what it is. The Bengals have a top 10. Well, I think it goes far to say top 10 scoring defense. The whole team's under 20. So just to see how well the defense can play in these next two games against the Bengals and the Colts.
Yeah, no, that's all great points. I mean, you really don't want to harp on the loss. I feel like anyone who watched it, whether you were a fan or like you who covers the team, you know, you get what it was. They just were really out of the game at 1:30. I remember looking at the clock and I'm like,
right,
this game's over. It was 14-0. I'm like, I just don't see it because, and it wasn't even like Zach was struggling per se. I just felt like they just didn't have the juice, the energy. So what I wanted to know was, and a little bit of an overreaction question, but I'm curious because you're around the staff and the team a lot. Like, are you getting the sense that maybe, like, you know, the staff's in over their head? I mean, Joe, our savior over here, our leader, Caparosa, was at the game. And he was like right by the bench. And he said throughout the game, there was no energy. It was just kind of dead. And it was something that kind of made him a little concerned because he's been very pro this staff, Saleh, you know, all that stuff. So I'm curious because you obviously have a closer eye than anybody else because you're around the team pretty much multiple times a week. So what do you think about that?
I don't think they're in over their head. Because I mean, outside of this last game and the Denver game, they've all been competitive. And it just come down to, like, either getting onside or getting a stop on third down against the Falcons on 30-13. So they've been competitive. I just think they got, you know, everybody's due for a stinker, you know. Like, the Ravens lost 41-17 last week. The Chargers lost, got blown out by the Ravens. I mean, it just happens, you know. I mean, I think the Rams kind of, you know, took it to the Bucks. Like, every team is going to have one week where they kind of get punched in the mouth and, you know, you just got to pack your bags, go home and recalibrate for the most part. I don't think the staff's in over their head. Offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, head coach, I do think that they're learning on the fly.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, they're just dealing with some adversity right now. I mean, the roster isn't loaded with an abundance of talent. There's talent, but it's young. So, like, there's certain spots, like, outside of Marcus May and CJ Mosley and the D-line, like, every other spot, like, there's talent there, but it's young. It has to be developed. You know what I'm saying? So, like, whether it's quarterback, receiver, O-line, you know, left side of O-line. So, I think, you know, it's just a process. You would hope that they didn't, you know, wouldn't get blown out like that coming off a bye, but the Patriots – they were just clicking, you know.
They were.
They just took advantage of the fact that CJ Mosley and Jerry Davis weren't playing, and they were able to really pick on the linebacker group because it was a lot of short passes that just turned into a big game. You know, screen passes, checkdowns to running backs in the flat, and you know, running backs getting like 20 yards, you know, or a swing to John O. Smith for a 25-yard gain. Like it was just, you know, they were able to really execute that. They were just oil machine. So
they were doing everything that we want Zach to do that offense is not done. The short intermediate throws, the quick screens. Right. And the Jets haven't been able to stop a screen or execute a screen in like a decade. it's been long. It's been tough for us. But kind of going off that, like I watched Saleh's presser. I know you were there. I heard some of your good questions. he just looked really defeated today. And I know he had said some weird things with like having an extra quarterback on the roster. You could tell it's getting to him a little bit. The losing, it's harder than he's realized. Like, are you a little concerned about how he was carrying himself? Like, I know, like, on Sunday, he's going to be a little raw because it just had happened. But, like, I felt like it was good that he was, like, kind of cursing and he was just saying, like, you know, these are professionals. Yeah. I don't need to motivate them. They need to motivate themselves. But I was just, like, I was a little disappointed. He just had, like, a very blah demeanor. And I just didn't think he handled the press well today.
I'm not really concerned, though. I mean, you know, he's human. Then they, you know, we all have, I don't know, man. Maybe he woke up on the wrong side of the bed for the most part. You know, like we don't know like how somebody, you know, what their morning looked like. And then they had to carry that energy into the press conference. So I'll give him a pass for that, especially when it's a one-off. This is not like Adam Gates, you know what I'm saying? Where like he's always off or weird or whatever.
Yeah.
Like Robert Saleh, for the most part, has been consistent. And when it comes to like his energies, optimism, things of that nature, I mean, you know, I don't think he was that off, but yeah, I can see where you're coming from, but I don't really think, I think I'll give him a pass for today and, you know, most likely this week in that aspect. So I'm not really too worried.
You're making me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, I know you're leveling us out here, DJ. So we appreciate it. So listen, man, one more question on the coaching staff here. So, you know, last week on our show, we were saying that this game coming off a bye week, and the Jets have been historically bad coming off bye weeks for the last 10, 12 years, was going to tell us a lot about this coaching staff. And unfortunately, it didn't really tell us what we wanted it to. But looking specifically at LaFleur, and I think any reasonable Jets fan wouldn't make their mind up about a coaching staff or a coaching staff after six games. You've been pretty active on Twitter saying that clearly Mike LaFleur is kind of public enemy number one against Jets fans. So in your opinion, you know, is it warranted? Or, you know, do we as a fan base just need to give LaFleur time? And is he kind of being maybe dealt not the fairest hand, especially considering the offensive line struggles and stuff like that?
So I think, yeah, we got to give him a little more time to develop. I mean, he is also a rookie offensive coordinator too. Just like he is, you know, he's dealing with a rookie quarterback. He's dealing with, I'd give him like, you know, B to B plus talent at receiver. He's dealing with F talent at tight end. He's dealing with a C to C plus offensive line. So I think, I do think some of the criticism has been fair. I think the people that want him fired or think in over his head is, because every time I watch the all 22, I see the plan. I see the vision. I see the game plan. It just sometimes it comes down to execution. And he said that does fall back on him. Cause you know, I think they're usually taking the bullets, but like they're 4-for-1 play where they're, you know, running up the middle with Ty Johnson and Connor McGovern gets beat across his face from a DN that was in a, you know, wide technique, you know, like that's not on LaFleur. That's on, you know, the offensive line, you know, it's on GBR. You feel me? And then like on the first play of the game, you run, you know, yeah, you hand it off. You know, people wanted something different, but you hand it off. GBR gets crushed. Then play two, you know, you go stretch left and you have, what's his name? You have Elijah Ray Tucker who stays on his block just a second too long that allows Bentley to scream through the B gap and get Michael Carter who was able to make a few moves and then boom, make turn into a 3-yard game, which makes it like 3rd and 6. And then the Patriots, they just kind of beat LaFleur to the punch where like they ran like a stack. They had a receiver stacked at the, I think to the field side. And then you had Keenan Cole to the boundary. He runs like over, Corey runs a spot, but really it's like a pick play to have Jameson Crowder run a wheel. But like the DB, I think that was kind of hovering that area over Crowder. He blitzes. But they kind of knew that a wheel was coming based off of the alignment. And they had Devin McCourty basically sitting over the top of the wheel route. And you had, you know, Crowder on – not Crowder. You had Cole coming over on a crosser slash slant-ish, whatever he ran. I mean, it was something. He was open, but with that guy blitzing, they could have blocked that up if, you know, Ty Johnson stayed in the block, but he went out for a route. You know, so that's just miscommunication. And it's like, yeah, like, could have called something different? Sure, but – sometimes, you know, you need your players to bail you out and do their job. We always tell Bill Belichick, always say, do your job, do your job, do your job. And there's just instances when they don't. You feel me? So are there times where Michael Ford makes a bonehead decision? Yeah. Like game two, you get down into the red zone. You're on the 3-yard line. And you hand the ball off like two, you know, three times in a row. You feel me? Like, you know, like,
that drove me nuts.
It's like, yeah, you know, especially
I was
on third down.
I'm so pissed.
you were outnumbered in the box. They had nine people in the box. You're outnumbered in the box. Even if you blocked everybody up, you still were going to have somebody unblocked. You know, so this place where I could pinpoint, okay, LaFleur, you messed up here, but then Lazar, all right, before I see what you're trying to do, this person messed up here. So they got to all get on the same page. You know what I'm saying? That's why I don't like to criticize LaFleur in game unless it's like apparent, because when you see the all 22, then you can see what the plan, the idea is. Versus when you watch it on a broadcast, all you see is down, say, hey, you see the ball, you see Zach or Mike White now holding the ball, and then you see the ball being thrown. You don't see what's happening behind. You don't see what the coverage is. You don't even see the alignment on the defensive line, because all you see is just four bodies, maybe five, but you don't see how they're lined up. You don't see what the linebackers are on the field. You just see, you know, just dots, basically, you know, just humans on the screen. So you don't really know, like, what's happening, you know? So, I mean, like, perfect example, like, when it comes to the broadcast view, I'm watching the Ravens game and the Bengals game, you know, red zone. And there's one play where I think it might have been Mixon, where like they run a stretch left, and then like from the broadcast view, it looked like the Ravens had everybody you needed to blow up the play, but there was a giant hole. And then when he hit that, when he cut up field, he was able to break for a touchdown, which kind of, you know, broke that game open. And that's just things that you can't really see on the broadcast view. So like that's why I'm very hesitant to criticize before in game, because it's like, I got to see what's really happening. Because, bro, when I mean it's happening fast up in the press box, it is happening fast. Like, you got to pick, okay, am I going to look at the secondary, or am I going to look at the D-line, or am I going to look at Zach, or am I going to look at the – like, there's so much that you got to really pick, okay, what do I want to look at on this play, because there's so much happening. I only have two eyes, you know, so.
Yeah,
I know. That was good, though. That was good.
Yeah, it definitely was. And I think, you know, I think we've all had a problem here and there with some situational play calling from Michael Floor, but
course,
I do know the tape can tell a different story. I know one of the big ones that actually Will Parkinson brought up on our show last week was that that Atlanta game. They had like a second and two, and they threw that ball back across the field to Jameson Crowder. Three guys out the block, and they let one guy slip through. And that play gets blown up. Everybody's probably cussing Michael Floor out. But in reality, when you watch that, they set that block, and that's actually a great play call. So there's a lot to be told there that, you know, to your point, DJ, that you don't really see when you're watching the game live. But, you know, I want to switch gears to Zach Wilson. I know you touched on it. So kind of a two-part question. So how important are these next couple of days for what we see this timetable being for his return? And second part of the question is, do you see this injury maybe being kind of a blessing in disguise where he can take a step back and return stronger, maybe similar to what we saw with Sam Darnold in his 2018 rookie season?
Yeah. So the first part, LaFleur, Sala said that, you know, they just want to see what his knee looked like by the end of the week to see how he's recovered. Just to see, you know, just range of motion, just to see when he could possibly come back, which is why they haven't put him in the IR yet. So we'll know pretty soon if he's going to be on the IR or not. I mean, I don't know if he will, but we'll see by the end of the weekend. We'll see by the end of the weekend. I think that'll kind of answer all that. They just want to see, like, what his range of motion is. So to the blessing in disguise part, yeah, absolutely. The game's moving fast for him. It's you know, it's just moving fast for him at times. Like, I'm not going to lie. There's just times where, like, he'll just hold it a split second too long, because that's something he can get away with at BYU, but you just can't get away with that in the NFL. Because even the play where he got hurt, yes, like, before, you're tripping. Like, why do you have Ryan Griffin one-on-one with Mike Matthew Udon? Even though when he explained it, it makes sense. But, again, you got to prepare for what if Matthew Udon blitzes. You have him one-on-one with Ryan Griffin. But if Zach Wilson gets the ball just a tad, touch a bit earlier, then, okay, now Matthew Don isn't able to get to him. And to be honest, Zach didn't even need to throw that ball deep, even though, yeah, we, you know, they got down a 2-yard line. Courtney was wide open on a crosser. Cause like, you know, the line, the two linebackers, they sunk in, they sunk in on the play action. Yeah, Corey Davis wide open on a crosser down the sideline. So, I mean, you know, you throw in anticipation, you don't have to worry about Mappy Udon, you know, Judon getting you. But that's just an example. Like another example against Carolina, against the Falcons, the shot play to Elijah Moore that got you down the 2-yard line. If he throws that a little bit earlier, that's a touchdown. But he waited just a little bit long, you know, just a touch bit longer. And yeah, you got the PI. But again, that could have been, that's an example of, yo, if you get the ball just a half a second earlier or even a second earlier, that could be a touchdown, you know? So it's just little plays like that, you know, Zach could, if he sits back, he could just see the speed of the game, you know, just go back into the film study, pick Mike White's brain a little bit, or give, you know, tell Mike White what he's seen, and being able to be almost like a, you know, big brother in that aspect. We're like, yo, this is what I'm seeing. You know, they can have that dialogue. And then same with, I mean, Flacco's going to be, he could pick Flacco's brain. Obviously, he's been picking Josh Johnson's brain. So those things he'll be able to do on, you know, on the sideline. So, you know, it can be a blessing in disguise. You just have to capitalize on it.
Yeah. And one thing I'll say is, I mean, kind of is a mix of you talking about how Zach's been holding on the ball too long. And, you know, that's been his biggest problem with this processing. The thing I noticed, and I'm not sitting here going to, like, you know, praise Mike White. He was like the greatest quarterback in the world. What I noticed was he was executing the offense. He was getting the ball out fast and doing what he was supposed to do. And Right. They were able to move the ball. And he was a guy who never took a snap before. So my point is, it seems like if Zach corrects those mistakes when he comes back from injury, he's going to be more successful because we know he's much more talented. He just needs to win more from the pocket and stop playing like, you know, oh, I got to roll out and I got to do this. No, you got to win from the pocket. And that it was apparent because, like, obviously LaFleur was hampered by having a guy who's never taken a snap before, but he was doing all the right things. Like, his arm is like Chad Pennington level. I was like, I thought he had a better arm than that. I'm like, this guy can't even really throw the ball that hard. I mean, is that – I'm kind of surprised he's in the NFL. He was, like, lobbing the ball up, and I'm, like, surprised he didn't have more interceptions. But when he hit, he made some good plays. I mean, he wasn't great, but, like, for someone who never played before – I was expecting like the Luke Falk experience in 2019 where they literally could not.
You might get it.
You might get it this week. Oh, please don't wish that on us, man. You gotta cover this team, man.
Don't remind me. DJ, is he gonna have a quick hook in your eyes for Josh Johnson this week?
No.
He's getting the whole game.
I think he's getting the whole game.
Unless they're down like 40-3 in the fourth quarter, they'll take him out just because. But he's got the whole game. But we'll transition a little bit away to something more interesting than just Mike White. So obviously the deadline is less than a week away. Obviously everyone keeps talking about Marcus May. People talk about Crowder. Like, do you think that either of those guys could be moved? And if so, who do you think? And if not those guys, do you have anyone in mind that maybe they might sell off or even acquire?
Yeah, I think those two for sure. You know, they'll for sure look into trading those two, or, you know, people call me. Robert Saleh says he's not trying to have a fire sale, which is, you know,
I heard that.
We'll see what happens. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I think those two could possibly get moved. I think Marcus May will probably be here. If I had to pick, I think Crowder would probably be here, but there's a chance that those two could still get moved. But I mean, to be honest, yeah. I mean, I think they could do what I think. If I had to pick which one would hurt less if they moved, I think it would be Crowder. Not because Crowder isn't a good player. Crowder's a pretty good player. It's just that they have other players that they could put there versus at safety. You know, I don't know who else they could put out there. You know what I'm saying? Like,
they just dropped Colbert. So yeah, you're right.
Exactly. You know, I think they got to keep Marcus.
I like the idea of keeping Crowder because I think he's a good security blanket for Mike White and then Zach when he comes back. But I also understand the business move to get rid of him. Number one, a team like Kansas City could use him in the worst way. They need a third option in their passing game. All they have is Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, who are consistent. And he's the kind of guy that Mahomes would love to have as a security blanket when those two are covered. And my thinking is like you said, they want to try to get maybe Elijah more to his natural position in the slot versus lining him up on the outside exclusively. But I think that would be the justification. Plus, he's probably not going to be here next year as much as he's a solid player. I mean, like, He's definitely a contender wants him, like a team that needs some receiving help. Also, the Saints could be a team that could also use him in the worst way because they have no receivers right now. But I think Michael Thomas is about Michael Thomas is about to come back, though, I think. I think he might be back this week.
There's a chance for that.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah. So do you think though that the, you know, there's a belief out there that the wide receiver room is kind of crowded right now. So, I mean, I share Steven's belief here that especially with Zach Wilson, that you keep as many talented guys around your young quarterback here. But I mean, is there, you know, and I know, I believe that Saleh and Joe Douglas are in lockstep here, but if Douglas moves Crowder, does that kind of force his hand a little bit now to say, okay, you're going to play your top three guys in Corey Davis, Mims, and Elijah Moore, and that kind of makes it easier to get those young guys that are a future of this team, targets?
I don't think if anything, I think that would just put Keenan Cole on the field more.
Really?
To be honest. Yeah, I mean, if you look at the snap count, Keenan Cole is getting way more snaps than – I think Keenan Cole might have had more snaps than – Elijah Moore, I believe, this past week. I mean, Keenan Cole gets plenty of snaps. So I think that would just – I think with the Denzel Mims situation, I think it's a very odd situation, but, it's kind of the situation that we're just in at this point. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel that Elijah Moore can play on the outside. I mean, he hasn't really shown much from the slot or the outside. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, Keenan Cole had 32 snaps. Elijah had 37. Denzel had 19. Braxton had 17. Jameson had 49. Corey had 43. So, I think that just put Keenan Cole on the field more. Yep, I think that just put Keenan Cole in. And, yeah, Denzel Mims would get more reps, but I think that would just solidify Keenan Cole getting more. You got to remember, he's making $5 million a year, so this year. So, it's a business at the end of the day. So I don't think Joe Douglas would want $5 million just sitting on the sideline, which is, that's the only trepidation with adding more talent at the receiver in that aspect because, it's only one ball. It's not like you're adding like a whole bunch of defensive backs. Like if you had a whole bunch of elite talented defensive backs, then, that's only making the whole entire defense better, versus when you add a bunch of receivers, which is fine. You still have to worry about rotating them in and getting them the amount of snaps that they need. So, so I think if you get rid of Crowder, you can put Elijah Moore in the slot, but I think there'll be instances where you have Elijah Moore in the slot and still on the outside. They'll just rotate. Sometimes they'll put Keenan in the slot or sometimes they'll put Corey on the slot. I think they'll just get creative in that aspect. But, put Elijah Moore in the slot and you'll be able to get then some more reps on the outside. So.
Yeah, it's funny with Mims because he's literally going through the same thing as Brandon Ayuk is in San Francisco. It's like very talented, big body player, but for some reason they're just not getting on the field. But Ayuk actually showed a lot more as a rookie, and people thought he could be like a breakout guy this year. So it's kind of funny, like those two have kind of been like
I dropped him in my fantasy, and I had to drop him.
Yeah, I know a lot of people have been disappointed, but we do have a question from one of the viewers, Damian Doyley. He's curious for you, DJ. So what personnel did the Jets run in the preseason game against the Packers? Because obviously he wants to see that again. And his second question is, do you think that Yeboah will be active on Sunday? Because obviously they've had so many issues at tight end and there's no sign that Cross is actually going to be back this week.
What personnel they were running? The personnel that they're running in the preseason was called the personnel against the second team and third team defenses. That's why it looked better. Uboah, I get a lot of questions about him. I mean, he didn't really show much in training camp, to be honest. I mean, he's probably gotten better, but if he's not active, I think this should be the note. If he's not active and we see how bad a tight end spot is, then it's like, how little is he showing in practice? I think that's what it comes down to. He has some talent. Not that he doesn't have talent, but I think the tight end spot is what it is at this point. I don't think there's any answer unless you try to trade for somebody like a Jordan Howard or some OJ Howard or something like that, or Melvin Ingram, not Melvin Ingram, Evan Ingram. Get all my names mixed up. But yeah, I think those are your best chances. I don't think Kenny fixes anything like at all. I don't know if he'll be active. He wasn't active last week when Croft was out. Oh, but West Coast is dealing with a knee injury, so he might be active. Yeah, he's dealing with a knee injury, so he might be
active. Jets have had a tight end problem since Dustin Keller left, and I know Dustin went over to the Dolphins for literally that one preseason. Then he
and then was on someone the blew out his knee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry about that. Now, actually, Safarian Jenkins was good for 1 year, but it was like 1 year wonder. But I'm talking about in terms of consistency. Dustin Keller was really talented. He just was always hurt. That was the problem.
Right.
He was a good player, though. So one player I think who's actually been impressive, actually both Michael Carter's been impressive, but I'm talking specifically about Michael Carter, the running back. Do you think because Coleman was out and he took the opportunity to kind of really be the lead guy, do you think that he's distinguished himself as a lead back, or you still think they're going to go committee, especially when Coleman comes back? Because personally, I think that they should only use Coleman and Ty Johnson. Carter and Ty Johnson. I know Coleman's the best pass protector, which is why he's had a role on the team. But I just think that you got to go with the most talented guys, and Carter always makes some good plays. I know they haven't had 100 yards rushing yet, at least from one guy individually, but I really like him. I think he's got juice. I think he's good at catching the ball in the backfield. I've been impressed with him, even though this team is absolutely atrocious.
He's been solid. He's been solid. I think he's been solid. I think the O-line has been more of an issue, why he hasn't had the numbers that he could have had. But I do think that they'll probably have to address the running back situation next year. I mean, because, they're not – the receiver spot, they want to add a guy, that'd be fine, right? But the running back spot, they can't be like, oh, we're good. You know what I'm saying? Like, they would have to, like, okay, we might have to still add. Like, that's a position that we got to look at because – you know, they're serviceable, but like, do you want serviceable or do you want dynamic playmakers? You know what I'm saying? Like, granted, they haven't had the opportunities to do that, especially behind this offensive line at times. But, Ty Johnson's been fine. Michael Carter's been fine. Tevin Coleman obviously has also been fine. But I think that should come more down to the offensive line, which is why they haven't been able to have more production. But I think it'll still be committee regardless, to be honest. I think it'll still be a committee. Yeah. Because, like, no guy, like, which guy has this substantially distinguished themselves to where it's like, oh, he should be the lead back in that aspect. Like, yeah, you could say Michael Carter, but, like, can you really say that? The Jets are still at the bottom of the NFL in rushing yards per game. So can you really say, yeah, Michael Carter, if you're saying that, you're just saying that because he's a fourth-round pick and you like him and you want to see that draft pick, see what it could turn into. But in reality, you know, he hasn't really like, oh, yeah, we should make him the lead horse in that aspect. I mean, you're going to get the same reduction between him and Michael Carter. Like, yeah, like Ty and Carter do some things different, but you're going to get the same thing for the most part. Like,
that's fair.
Yeah. DJ, I kind of want to switch it up and go to the other side of the ball here and talk about the defense, specifically the defensive line. So, I think the defense on the whole kind of outplayed what our expectations were through the first, 4 weeks, obviously, and they've kind of regressed back to the mean over the course of the last three, two games. Obviously, part of that was C.J. Mosley, but specifically when you talk about the defensive line, had an outstanding performance against Tennessee and really couldn't sniff Matt Ryan or Mac Jones in the last two games. Is there concern there? Is it how the teams have played them since Tennessee? You know, what's kind of the outlook for the defensive line, which honestly has to be good if the defense is going to be good simply because of the inexperience in the back end?
Yeah, so I think I think it's a combination of various things. So I think on a D-line, I think they teams are playing them different, more quick game, you know, getting the ball out quicker, not holding the ball as long, running the ball with effectiveness, hitting them with screens, hitting them with draws, hitting them with traps, slowed them down just a tad bit. And, you know, past 2 weeks, they haven't really got teams behind the sticks. Like, they were able to against the Titans. And on top of it, like, being a Dolphins fan, I know Tannehill's 10 seasons. He has zero pocket presence. That's why they're able to beat him up for 7 sacks. Like, yes, you know, D-line did a great job in that aspect. But, like, some quarterbacks are really nimble in the pocket and they know how to get rid of the ball and refine their checkdowns to avoid those sacks, avoid those negative plays. Tannehill just is not specialized in that. That's why they're able to rack up 7. And I think Matt Ryan is really good in the pocket. And he's able to get the ball out quickly. Mac Jones, same thing. So when it comes to that, I think on the back end, it's been the coverage. I think it's Tennessee what helped them get those sacks was the coverage was pretty good. Granted, yes, they're playing against, you know, receivers that weren't really that good, but the coverage on the back end was good to allow them to have that time. So the coverage hasn't been as good lately, which has allowed teams to play quick game and get the ball out quicker. So I think that's kind of what's been, because again, like, you can have the best pass rush in the world, but if the quarterback's getting the ball like that, then it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Unless you get there in 1.8 seconds or whatever. So I think that's what's kind of been the issue with them in the past 2 weeks. But, you know, you're talking about two quarterbacks that want to get the ball out quick. We'll see this week with Burrow. I have to look at some numbers to see some advanced stats to see, like, what type of style he has along with the film. But, I think that the secondary has to do a better job of holding up and coverage wire, having tight coverage that's going to make the quarterback hitch a little bit. But I think last week wasn't really, like, it's not really their fault. Like, they were able to hit them with play action, quick game, screens, which will slow any defensive line down.
Yeah, I mean, I'm terrified of Jamar. I think Jamar is going to absolutely destroy us. I love him. Like, I liked him at LSU. Obviously, I know he sat out last year because of like, opting out. But he's like asserting himself as like almost – I mean, I don't think it's crazy to say like top 7 wide receiver right now, if not top 5. He is so talented.
He's shifty. It's not crazy at all. Not crazy at all.
Listen, it's a seven game sample size. So I understand it's like a little reaction, but like he's talented. And you know, some of the guys that we think of as like the top guys are getting older. I'm not saying that they're bad. Like I love Devontae Adams, best receiver in the NFL, but he's 29 and Hopkins, same thing. They're getting older. And these young guys like him, Justin Jefferson, I can't think of it off the top of my head right now, but like there's just younger guys who are gonna start emerging. I even like Jalen Waddle. I know, like obviously.
Yeah.
You know, the Dolphins have
I like Jalen Waddle. Even though the Dolphins could have had Jamar Chase, they should have stayed at number 3. But now their first round pick belongs to the Eagles, which, you know, great GMing by Chris Greer.
we feel your pain on that with bad GMs. So one quick question before we go into just game picks, because they're going to be really easy and fun this time. So I know the offensive line, specifically, you know, the interior on the right side and center have been the problem, really. But I will say Connor McGovern, I think, has played a lot better. You know, and he's had his moments where he hasn't looked good, whereas GBR has been bad all year. A lot of people on Twitter have been suggesting a potential of maybe, moving Connor to right guard and then putting Vivi in at center. What are your thoughts on the possibility of that happening? Oh, no.
Zero.
The fact that
GVR has at least 5 plays a game where he's getting drugged into the backfield and they're like they keep trotting him out there, that lets you know everything you need to know about Dan Feeney.
So
you guys saw Dan Feeney in preseason against could have just never faced a first team defense ever. And he was getting his butt kicked against those guys. Yeah, nah.
DJ, I'm having Jake, our social guy, clip that entire reaction because that was hilarious. Listen, I kind of agree, but like people have been suggesting it. So I'm curious, you know, you know how they think about it. And I kind of agree with you. The fact that they keep trotting GVR out there tells you all you need to know, but sometimes you just got to shake it up. And maybe Connor's best suit is a right guard. I don't know.
Any is terrible. Like there is like GVR isn't good. He's downright bad. Feeney. The only reason why Feeney's still on the team is because he got $3 million this year. Like Feeney got benched during preseason for a guy that got cut because they benched him for Jimmy Murray and Murray ended up getting cut. So I let you know everything you need to know. Like Feeney,
so
you know,
sad. Yeah, man. He's like, only there because they gave him $3 million.
Feeney's not good at all,
Dan Feeney's agent, man. That's all
good for like Dan that. Feeney's agent. Like he got that boy paid because the boy can't play.
Yes, DJ, right, I'm definitely getting that clip because that reaction is just like step back and just go, you're like, no, we're not entertaining this conversation at all. It's like all those people say move Becton into the interior. Like that's not like, happening. Get over yourself.
You guys want Zach to get hurt again? Cause Dan Feeney will for sure get him hurt. If I'm anyone. You know? And I don't want Zach to be hurt. You know what I'm saying? Like I enjoy going to games and seeing what Zach Wilson is gonna do. You know?
Yeah.
That's now fair. I gotta go see a game.
There we go.
White's gonna do.
All right, game picks yeah, time. We're not doing keys to the game because the Jets are not winning. The game. We don't even have to say how they can win this game. It's not happening. Like I'm realistic about this. Steven is DJ. You know, you basically told
but
me.
What did they do though? What did they?
I know
do,
that'd be.
You could
that'd be
you
fun.
Could send this. You can send this to the Freezing Cold Takes. I don't care. I would just be like, wow, that's hilarious. But like, yeah.
But no, like, I mean, but like, if they were to win, like. Don't you like? Let's say Mike White go out there and throw 3 touchdowns.
Oh my god!
They win. Like that's probably like. Now I won't say the worst case scenario, but that would be like a bittersweet moment. Like yeah, we won. You know, just won. You know, White threw 3 touchdowns. We beat the 5-2 Cincinnati Bengals. That's what a Jet fan was saying. And it's like.
DJ, damn. what's more likely to happen? Mike White goes out there and throws 3 touchdowns, or Greg Van Roten doesn't get blown up at all on Sunday?
What's more likely?
Mike yeah. White 3 touchdowns, 100%. He threw one last week. All he threw was 2 more.
I think what's more likely is Greg Van Roten doesn't get blown up. Throw 3 touchdowns. That is, we asking a lot for Mike White. But if he does that though, like. That could start a quarterback controversy.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
I ain't going to say me, but somebody's going to be out there like, how come Mike White can do this, but Zach can't? Zach's never thrown for 3 touchdowns in one game. I mean, it can get a little interesting. It can get a little interesting.
That's what I'm saying.
You don't know about that? You don't think Jets fans wouldn't be like, bro, hey, Mike White. I mean, he looked way better than if he throws 3 touchdowns and beats the Bengals. Oh, you're underestimating fandom.
I see. I just
be like,
he's not wrong.
I saw people in Dolphin Reporters mentions really like capping for Jacoby Brissett against the Raiders when he threw the ball 49 times for 215 yards, and they were like, he showed toughness. He brought us back into the game. And he made it a game. And it was like, yo, like, what are y'all talking about? He sucks. But when a guy wins, I'm trying to tell you, and they put up some, interesting stats, people can lose their mind.
No, it's true. Listen, I'll say this because you said what if it happens. I guess the one point of emphasis here is that the Jets did go to L.A. last year, beat the Rams when they literally had no wins. So
exactly. Hey,
I guess it's possible, but like
anything's possible.
Any given Sunday. All right.
Yeah, but this Sunday, though, probably not.
Maybe the Thursday game. I give a better chance with Indianapolis because Indianapolis has had moments where they've been terrible.
Yeah.
I know they're playing much better lately, but – they were awful the first few weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. So, all right.
My Dolphins gave them a win, and then, they've been rolling ever since. So,
all right, Steven, what's your score prediction? Then DJ, then me.
All right. I'll say 31-14 Bengals. I think Mike White looks decent. Falters late, though. Jets, keep it closer than the score looks, but it's not going to be, that competitive that we're really looking for. But, 31-14 Bengals are just too hot right now.
What about you, DJ?
I'll give it like 27-10, but one of the three points gonna come in the first quarter. If I bold prediction.
All right, bold prediction there. I like
it. Listen, come in the first. They're gonna score on their first drive. They're gonna score on their first. Well, they're gonna score in the first quarter. My bad. I didn't mean to say first.
If the Jets score a touchdown in the first quarter and that's all that they score, I'll be happy. We scored a first.
They scored 7 points and that's it. You won't be happy.
All right, I got to be consistent with my gambling picks, which are coming out later this week. So. I definitely think 35-10. I think that, the Bengals train on us and we go over. It's 43. I think that the Jets will have some meaningless touchdown. Maybe Elijah gets another. I hope he just gets a lot of touches. We get to see Elijah do some things. But, yeah, this game is just – it's not happening. Like, honestly, I feel bad for the people like Will, the people who have to go, who have season tickets. Just like, I'm going because I have to, not because I want to. I know it's kind of like you, DJ. You're just like, you have to.
I want to go, though. I like going to the games. I like going. I get free food. I got to watch football.
Wait. So let me ask. Do you sit next to Connor Hughes in the box because he has his like rankings of the food?
It depends. Last week I sat next to Rich, but most home games I sit next to Kaz.
Okay.
Most home games. Kaz is a very funny sit next to guy to listen to. I'm telling you, like Kaz, out of all the people want to be, I think Kaz wants the Jets to be good as much as anybody else. That's why he is so snarky, because he wants to cover a good team more than anything. So I think that's why he's more snarky and more annoying. It is more annoying because it's like, I swear to God, I remember it was one game. I forgot. It might have been the Patriots game. I swear to God, this man was really rubbing his head in distraught. Like, why can't they just be competent? And that was against the Patriots. So I know Kaz is a lot of shit, but Kaz wants the Jets to be good.
Yeah,
it's funny.
You're not a fan of the Jets.
They're more fun
to be good.
They're more fun to cover when they're good. I mean, we want the Jets to be good. It's just more fun to talk about.
Yeah.
And I heard, I don't know if you heard this earlier, Steven, but DJ actually slipped and almost said we when he was talking about Zach Wilson throwing it up to Keelan Cole. He did. I heard it, man. It was the
No, but DJ, you know what's funny about Kaz? Like, I don't love the way he writes about the team, but he used to go on The Fan every week. I mean, I think he still does, but he used to go on Joe and Evan a lot. And I actually liked him more when he would talk, because I could see what you're saying. Like, he was always just kind of giving everyone the benefit of the doubt and was hoping that things would work out. Yeah. Like, he gave Gase way too big of a pass. Yeah. He was like,
100% agree.
You got to give him some. I'm like, what? This guy has a track record. He coached for 3 years elsewhere. We know he stinks. It wasn't like All right,
yeah, he for sure wants he more than anybody on the beat, in my opinion, wants the team to be good, because he wants to cover a good team. I mean, I'm too young to know the difference right now. Yeah. So
is Connor mad at you for exposing his Giants fandom? Because that
I wanted to text Connor and be like, Connor, what are you doing? Like, you're like, you should lean into it, like how I lean into it. Like, you should have been like, yeah, I'm a Giants fan. Fuck it. Okay. And just let it ride. Jet fans don't really care that much. Like, okay, you're a Giants fan. Like, okay, you grew up in the Northeast, you grew up in Jersey. Like,
he's a Knicks fan.
A Jets fan or yeah, I mean, you're a Knicks fan, so like, you can win those fans back. But he was just like, how long are you guys going to keep that? It's like, yo, Connor, you can't take this shit that serious, because then they're going to keep coming at you. You know, you got to laugh with it, you know? And they're bad. Yeah, so, like, you know, you can relate to something. That's why, you know, when people show me, like, Dolphins scores, I'm like, yeah, they suck. What else? You know?
All right. DJ, so we've talked about this before. This is not football related. Where's the apology for Tyler Hero? I know you hate him.
What?
Playing well.
Tyler Hero? He had 13 points last game. Ain't no apology.
Playing well, though. He's off to a good start.
Right now, it's halftime. The Heat are down 51-49 to the Brooklyn Nets, and Tyler Hero has 9 points. 4-for-12 shooting, and you think I'm going to apologize for that, because he has a flu game. He 30-something points against the Pacers, which they lost. No, ain't no apology. He should have been in Houston. He should have been in Houston, and James Harden should have been in Miami, and that is that.
I knew, I'm just kidding. I knew that you're like the biggest anti-Tyler Hero guy, but
I'm
offended because Bleach Report did a like top 20 under 24 guys, and they put him in front of RJ Barrett. You will take RJ Barrett over him.
I just don't understand. I just don't understand. I just don't. Like, I remember they had, like, when they're like a top 100 last year, that list that they do, they had like Tyler Hero like in the 50s range. And I'm just like, what are you guys seeing? At that point, I was like, okay, that playoff run has people kind of drunk. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, Tyler Hero can get buckets, but like,
what else does he do?
That's
nothing.
It. Exactly. Yo, like, I'll take RJ over Tyler Hero right now.
But RJ literally put Jason Tatum in jail in the home opener. He literally could not do anything against him. And he was great last night. I was at the Garden last night. Dude, RJ gets no respect. Sorry, that's my RJ. Right?
Yeah,
but DJ, you know, we love having you on. We'll definitely have you on again in the offseason because I know you're a busy man. We're doing a great job. You know, I'm just curious, is it different? Is it like what you expected being on the beat during the season? Or like, how do you, like, real quick, like, what do you think about how it's been?
I think I'm having deja vu. I might have had a dream about, not even like, it just hit me when, like, that question, I don't know, it just triggered something in my brain that made me think about, like, something, like, this question or whatever. Not even, like before I even got on the beat. But how's that? I mean, it's been interesting. It hasn't been that much of an adjustment. I think in season isn't that hard for me content-wise because there's so many angles you can go with. You can go with, like, offense.
Yeah.
One day you can go offense, next day you can go defense. And then you can just go off of what Robert Saleh said. You can go off what Zach Wilson said. You can go off with, you know, what happened in the last game. Like, it's easy content-wise. I think the offseason is a little it's challenging because, you know, you're trying to create content out of nothing. Well, a lot of it is fluff and BS, you know, like when I'm writing about, like, how Michael Carter could end up being the lead back and rush for a certain amount of yards. But actually, he might be on pace for 700. But anyway, that's see, I'm just thinking about articles that I wrote that, you know, I'm just pulling shit out of my ass. But yeah, you know, within the off season is difficult. But I mean, it's still been fun. You know, I was just in London just to watch football. You know, I was just in Boston. That was cool. So
you have to travel, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's been fun. Like overall, it's been fun. I don't have no complaints. You know, I mean, would it be better if the Jets were a little bit better? Like, actually, I don't think that matter. I think it'd be better if Zach Wilson was hurt. I think now it's like, damn.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah.
You got to write about Mike White. You got to write about Mike White.
Right. It's no disrespect to Mike White. It's just like, I know fans because, you know, when Jacoby Brissett was starting for the Dolphins, like, I don't give a shit about what the Dolphins had going on. Like, I don't care about Jacoby. Like, and it, you know, like, they weren't cool, but like, I knew, like, you want to see your young quarterback play, you know, just see what you got there. And, like, watching a young quarterback, because, like, there's so much mystery around it, right? It's like, okay, you know, when Zach Wilson's out there, can he turn, like, you know, you'll see fly style, right? Can he – let's see what he can do this game. Let's see, you know, like, there's you're going through that journey, that growth with that quarterback, just seeing how they develop. Where, you know, Mike White's 26 years old. Like, you know, it is what it is with him. Like, with Jacoby Brissett, like, you know, Jacoby, he is what he is, you know? So, I think that part is slightly disappointing, but like win losses, they don't really matter to me. I just like that I was enjoying watching Zach play.
Yeah.
Cause you know, you want to see what like that turns into. And you know, you'll have your flashes, you'll have your oof moments, and you know, we'll see. But I mean, again, I think this is a good opportunity for him to reset because I mean he's still, you know, I mean this will give him time for somebody to pass him on an interception list. So he won't
break Jameis's record. That was what I was worried about.
Let's hope not. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I forgot about that.
There's no question that Zach Wilson, he's the most important player in this franchise. We all want to see him, but this does feel different though than, you know, 2019, 2020 when we knew Adam Gase was a dead end. So we weren't even excited to watch anything. I think all Jets fans right now are just asking for whoever the quarterback is, whether it's Mike White or Joe Flacco, just be serviceable so we can see some of these young guys that are core players for the future. Just get Elijah Moore the ball, get Denzel Mims the ball, get Corey Davis the ball. Let's see Michael Carter. We still have things to root for, so we want to know there's light at the end of the tunnel. So that's, I guess that's the one positive, you know, side to this, you know, versus 2020 or 2019, when we just knew Adam Gase was a dead end and, you know, there was nothing there. We were just waiting for
it. Even in 2019, when y'all went like 7-9.
That was fool's gold, man. That was a house of cards. We all knew it. We all knew it. I let myself get a little too hyped up about that, but I knew it deep down inside. Adam Gase was not. Yeah.
one silver lining from a real probably lost season. Elijah Vera Tucker is really good. That's one thing that no one talks about, but he is. But we can't run the ball, and our offense stinks. But he does everything he's supposed to do, and he's a left guard, so no one's paying attention. But if you actually watch him, you see that he wins the time.
He's good.
He's good.
He's very good.
Yeah. That's a good thing. So we have that. But in case you guys don't, make sure to follow DJ on Twitter at DJ Bieniemy. He's got great stuff coming out every week, whether it's pregame, postgame. You know, I think one thing I love is DJ always interacts with people on Twitter, no matter how ridiculous their stuff is to him. Yeah. So I like that about him. And he's always just going to, you know, give us a good perspective and tries to be as, you know, open-minded as possible. Make sure, obviously, to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Turn on the Jets on YouTube. It's great stuff. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast feed on Apple, Spotify, or Google Play. You get our show, get Will's show, and draft season returns this week. So no better time right now than to think about the draft, because the Jets are probably going to have two top 10 picks in the draft, which is another silver
lining. I don't know about probably, because I think once Russ gets back, I think they're gonna rip off some wins and get that outside of the top
10. I'm just saying. Also, if you haven't, join the Patreon for Batlands. You know, great stuff. We got DJ Binoculars. and we're doing our watch party for the Colts game in Hoboken, the Shepherd and Knucklehead, which will be a lot of fun. I know it's obviously not going to be a great product to watch on TV, but, you know, you'll get all your TOJ, Badland stuff. I'll be there. Connor, Joe, Greg Armstrong, Will, and I think Dalvin will be there too. Steven, unfortunately, will not, but, you know, we give him a pass for that. And if you guys don't know, make sure you go to TapRM, our presenting sponsor, Badlands. Just dying at DJ. Use the promo code JETS50 to get $50 off your first order of $100 on really cool.